With you on a Tuesday. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch and free on the Odyssey app. You guys can check us on out. If you miss any of the Tobin and Leroy show, you guys can check us out on the Odyssey app. You guys can get us on all of your platforms where your podcasts are available. Dolphins training camp just around the corner. Kane's not too far away as the Heat are making moves. And we're keeping an eye, see what the Panthers parties are doing this summer. Marlins playing pretty well right now. So keep up with everything. Listen to Tobin and Leroy on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. Mm-hmm. Check that on out. Marcos!
Yeah?
Let's mix it on up, dude.
No.
What? Marcos. Okay. Let's mix it on.
You know what? That's a good idea, Figgy.
What do you got for us today, Frog Boy?
Well, good sir, I have some reflection on the old Miami Heat trade.
Wow. All right.
So. We're actually going to cover a couple of trades that have gone down in South Florida in this mixed bag. Let us start with Mr. Zach Lowe.
Lowe.
Of the Lowe Post.
Bottom jeans.
Boots with the fur.
Whole club looking at her.
All right. Okay.
She hit the flow.
Okay.
Next thing you know.
Please.
Shorty got low, 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 low.
So what's Zach Lowe say?
Oh, no, you're going to get 2 minutes of this now.
Okay.
Zach Lowe calls the Miami Heat trade for Norman Powell a heist.
A heist for the Miami Heat. What just happened with Norm Powell? I don't know where it really gets them for next season in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if Norm Powell is even going to start for them next year. But, I mean, this is like no harm, no foul to get Norman Powell for a year for this price. I mean, anything's possible in the East, I guess, but they're still, to me, pretty behind New York, Cleveland, and Orlando. And we can go, you know, my Hawks, we can go down from there. But they're going to be in the mix with this. This is a nice bet for them. And you know what it gives them? It gives them someone who can just go north-south. This team has just, they make art out of it, but sometimes art can become a little tiresome of these like passes and cuts and fancy little handoffs and this and that. And it's sometimes it's like, can someone get the damn ball from north to south? Can someone get the damn ball through the paint into the rim? And Norm Powell can put his head down and do that.
Wow.
I like that.
I like the idea of like the Heat feeling like they fleeced somebody, and then like as soon as the trade's over, Andy Ellisberg just puts on a ski mask.
That'd be cool.
Andy, what are you doing? Heisting him
with a nice
and he starts logo. starts talking in his altered voice.
Ooh. Talks like a bad guy.
Yeah, you don't know the witness protection guys.
We just fleeced the LA Clippers and Danny Ainge. We just said two unathletic slow guys for the great best 3-point shooter in the league outside of Steph Curry.
We know that's you.
No, it's totally not Andy Ellisberg.
No.
We're different.
Completely.
We're different.
You're still wearing suspenders in your
suspenders
photo.
Are perfectly popular clothing item.
It's we had to back up 15 feet to fit you in the thing because you're so tall.
There's no one is safe, but mannequins, no one from him.
My favorite part is during Radio Taboo when Andy Ellisberg was a word in the first one. He was like, suspenders!
It is the first thing I think he's the only
man. I mean, like, do you understand how ridiculous that is? This dude wanted me to guess Andy Ellisberg from suspenders. We're not talking about this. Is not Heat. This is not Heat taboo. This is all of the world taboo. And you give me suspenders.
It's good. So I moved off it quick. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Oh, yeah. That's
a good try. But I see him at games and he's dressed to the nines. He's the only guy who wears suspenders. That's what I thought of.
I'm starting to grow in that game.
Radio Taboo.
It's a good one.
And I like it. I like it. I had a lot of fun.
We'll play it again. Play it again soon.
What else you got in the mixed bag?
More reactions from more trades around South Florida, this time in the football world. We're going to hear from Field Yates. It's a good,
Yates.
Good name. It's a good football name right there. He's a bit confused as to what Miami will get out of this move for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Here's the thing. About this move from the Miami side, I think in a vacuum, if a team trades two players that weren't likely long for the franchise, for a player in Minka Fitzpatrick, who has been a three-time All-Pro, who has not been at the peak of his powers the past couple of years, but is younger and is under decent contract control for the next few years, I'm okay with it. The issue I have with Miami kind of gets to what Kimberly was referring to, which is that they've made a handful of big bets over the past few years, whether it's trades or extensions or trades that led to extensions, a la Bradley Chubb, a deal that has not worked out. The Tyreek Hill extension, which, you know, one season into it looked like perhaps, you know, a mistake on Miami's part. We'll see if he bounces back this season. Jalen Ramsey as well, extended in September, now traded in July. Mina, it just feels like this is a team whose football business is often mediocre, and that's why one of the reasons why I think this team might be kind of heading towards the middle in the AFC as opposed to competing in the playoffs.
Well, let me say this. And this is why your past sometimes affect what people think of you in the future. So we can all come up with legitimate reasons as to why they made that move, right? They actually traded for a defensive back with a lot of the same success, but younger and on a better deal. A better contract, right? But when you look at it from the outside and you look at all the moves that they've made that haven't worked out and all the money that they've spent on guys who have been hurt or haven't, you know, or had bad years, then you kind of look at this move differently. It's kind of the same way when Pat Riley was at peak powers, every single person he brought in, you know, filled the role and it worked out. Kind of like Zito, right? Every single move that he's made, last year we're like, oh no, they let so-and-so go. They let so-and-so go. They bring in two guys. Everything works out. So if he brings in a guy right now, a new guy right now in Bill Zito, everybody's going to say, it's a great move. Why? Because his track record has indicated that all the moves that he's made have worked out. So you give it to him.
Yeah.
So he's going to be, whereas when you look at the Dolphins, when is the last trade or extension panned out? You got all these guys who are making all this money and we're sitting here talking like, I hope they can perform to the money you gave them. And so from that standpoint, when you make another move, which the Minka for Jalen Ramsey is a good move. But you have all this past history, so people are looking at it through a different lens than you would a Bill Zito. And I think that's why he comments the way he does, because you're a little skeptic when all the moves that you made haven't panned out.
Yeah, it's also one of those things, too, where it's like, look, you boxed yourself into a place where you were at a point of no return with the guys, so whatever you get, because you feel like you're going into a sunk situation anyway.
I think they won because guess what? That's, they got a lot in return. Because we were thinking fifth rounder.
Yep.
And they get a three-time All-Pro or Pro Bowler at a position that you got rid of everybody.
Yep.
A guy who's versatile that can move around. By the way, who complained about being moved around so much and now he's been doing it his whole career. So yeah.
And the thought was that, you know, they kind of stopped doing that with him last year and that made him less effective.
Right.
So, right. I think that it's a little bit, you know, to cross what's a little bit like the Jimmy trade. Like, you know, you go and you look at it and you're like, yeah, it's pretty good for knowing the situation of like, hey, you had to trade him.
Right.
And you were in that position. So if the Dolphins put themselves in, hey, we have to trade Jalen Ramsey, we're moving on, and you get a former All-Pro back, yeah, right. Maybe he's not what he was, but he's certainly better than what they got.
Right.
At that
especially
position
at
right
a
now.
Position where you like look at all the other positions, we can talk about experience or they haven't done anything in the league. Okay. But at safety, you definitely had no one.
Nah.
And when it comes to defensive football, you protect the middle of the field first. So that safeties, linebackers, D tackles, you protect the middle of the field. And all those other guys are allowed to eat because you've secured the middle of the field.
What else you got for us there, Simone Fractecchio?
Whoa, that's good. It's a new one. Terry Bradshaw seems to be on the hunt for a bit of a little raisy raise.
Oh, okay.
He had some comments recently about Tom Brady and his contract with Fox. This was on a podcast. I'm not sure if you know he's doing like some sort of podcast or some sort of.
Who is it these days?
That's, you know, that's a very fair point. His has to do with like plumbing and like HVAC and marketing, different things. I don't know, home improvement. People do crazy things. Nonetheless, Terry Bradshaw wants a raise and he blames Tom Brady.
Numbers that they did, the largest Super Bowl in the history, 126 million people. That's all. There's 330 million people in America. That is a ton. The Fox pregame show averaged 28 million for 5 hours. That's who in the world is going to sit around and watch that mess for 5 hours? 28 million. You know how much money they made? God, more money than plumbers, I can assure you that. 28 million. And I guarantee you, if I go in there and ask for a raise, well, we don't have it. We're running a little tight. Well, you just paid Tom Brady $37 million a year. I'll take it.
How'd you get that deal,
man? Just a bad deal. That's what it was.
Wow. Hey, you know what? He's been at Fox forever. I get
forever.
It.
Yeah. 30.
I totally get it.
31 years.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like when CBS had to do that with Romo, you know, and they gave Romo all that money and Nance is like, hey man.
Yeah.
Jim Nance.
Who does more than just football.
Right. So I get it. I totally, Tom Brady, I don't think is very good at that job. And I think Terry Bradshaw is better at what he does, but hey, you know,
Terry Bradshaw has personality.
He does. They're replacing him with Gronk because Gronk's. It's going to be the new, you know, but.
You just keep going.
Nah.
I'm sorry. It's a little delayed. My bad.
Yeah. But he is definitely the new Gronk.
You froze up.
Gronk is the new Terry.
You think?
Because
the one thing I would say about Bradshaw is, keep in mind, before this became entertainment, it was about football, right? So they were hesitant in putting the clowns on shows like that. And Terry Bradshaw just kind of was both.
Yes, but that's what I think. But I think of it as the comedian. Edic relief.
Right. But it's still the starting point was informative and knowledgeable about football. I don't know by signing Gronk, you accomplish the same things as you would when Terry Bradshaw came in. You see what I mean? So they're going to like Gronk is Gronk. But at some point, like you're gonna have to get down to it while still being Gronk. So I don't know how that's gonna play out. But I know that when Terry originally started, it was more about the information and his delivery made it entertaining.
All right. I'm sorry my connection stinks. I'll try and rectify that. We'll take a break. Final hour coming on up, back after this.